Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Speak of the devil, he's on the phone. West Tigers head coach and all-round good guy, Michael Maguire. Welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
G'day, Maroon. How are you, mate? How are you, boys?
Yeah, nice to talk to you, mate. Well, knowing your history of your team's leading big at half-time and then they surrender a big lead, I wonder what you were like at full-time last night.
Oh, look, I think the best part about last night was actually seeing the players walk in and they're actually filthier themselves. You know, we'd put on a good first-half performance, and look, we've been talking for the last couple of weeks about making sure that we make it an 80-minute performance, and even though we had some changes there through personnel, through a few injuries, look, some of the tries just weren't, you know, what we're about. So we're changing that at the club, and, you know, I think the West Tigers has always been a club that has probably been fairly flamboyant with their play and able to score tries. But one thing I think we all know is that you've got to be able to stop them if you want to actually win competition. So that's something that we're pushing for at the moment, and, you know, changing the way, you know, we look as a club.
Yeah, what was the most pleasing thing last night? Just spoke about their attitude coming off and dirty with themselves, but what's something else that you're happy with, Madge, from the Tigers?
Mate, one thing there, Gordy, I think just the hunger of the group at the moment. Yeah. They're really hungry to make sure we make change. You know, I think everyone's sick of where, I guess, you know, the place has been over a period of time, and, you know, we're the ones in charge at the moment to be able to change that. I think the hunger of the group is the thing that, you know, I've been really impressed with. And, look, I've had to make some big changes, and those guys that have, you know, sat out have just come back to training and they've ripped into training, and, you know, that's how you build a club, and that's the attitude towards what you're trying to do to make a club as well. So that's probably the pleasing thing, Gordy.
Madge, we just had a conversation about that in respect to the Warriors and what they need over there and some of the problems with the Warriors. And we mentioned you and the fact that, so I said, some coaches know what premiership-looking rosters look like, some don't. And you come into both clubs that you've coached at the NRL and made some pretty clear changes about the way you want the club to operate. And we saw that, but you've just spoken about that now. Can you tell us what's important when you're looking for a roster for your club to turn them into a premiership threat? What are some of the key things you've got to have?
Yeah, look, the big one, Kenny, I look for is consistency in your players. You want to be able to select a player and know that they're going to do the exact job that is required for the team. You know, you can't have an 8 out of 10 performance or a 9 out of 10 performance then drop it down to a 5 or a 6. Yeah, those things just will never, ever get you there. And, you know, you're in a marathon when you're playing in the NRL. It's from the start to the finish. And those players that consistently play well at that higher level will put yourself into an opportunity to play in a grand final. And then it comes down to a few individuals within that team that allows you to strike when the time's right. And in the big games, you only may get two or three opportunities. And if you miss them, you'll never get them again. So it's finding those players that can execute at those moments in time to be able to build your team so then you can play at that higher level. And, you know, the one thing I also, you know, probably learn over my time is that, you know, you don't always necessarily need a top caliber player. If you've got a team that really rolls the sleeves up and does their jobs consistently, pressure finds opposition. And then all of a sudden, the opportunities arise. So I guess, you know, we're in that position at the moment where I guess people would look at our team and go, well, you know, they're building and all that. But I think that's a load of garbage to me, to be honest. I mean, you know, we played last night and played really well for 40 minutes. You know, we've got to learn how to be able to do that for 80 minutes now. And that's the next progression of where we are as a club.
I know the first rule of coaching is never give a sucker an even break, but I'm going to ask you, and leave people out of it, but if you were looking now to, with the big news being the sacking of Stephen Kearney, if you're looking now to replace Kearney as coach, what type of coach do you think the Warriors need to be successful?
Yeah, I guess I want to be a little bit careful at the moment, boys, just with the current climate. You know, I know Steve very well, and you know, I know what he'd be going through at this present moment. But I guess the thing is, the understanding of what builds a total club is a big part of what a head coach is requiring to know. It's not just about the team. It's about everything that revolves around the team as well. And, you know, I spent a lot of years, I guess, as an assistant coach, getting an understanding of obviously how teams play, but it's also the environment around you. That, you know, your players, they're living in different environments and they're all coming together for the common goal. So you've got to be able to learn how to manage those players. And it's not only that, it's managing boards, it's managing media, it's all the things that go around the club. So as a head coach, look, yeah, your coaching piece is small majority of what actually goes on the day. So it's being able to find someone that can actually manage the whole lot and have an understanding of that the key goal is success on the field.
Madge, closer to home, let's talk about your club, the West Tigers. You made a big call a couple of weeks ago to drop Benji Marshall. It caught a lot of people by surprise when you did it. Do you feel as though the decision's been vindicated given the defensive performance from the club over the last couple of weeks? And I went and had a look at some of Benji's numbers, and I found out he missed more tackles than any other player in the NRL.
Yeah, well, I talked openly, Hoops, around, you know, what I've experienced in success and being able to build teams. And, you know, you look across the years that, you know, you've got to be one of the best defensive teams in the comp if you're going to be fair dinkum about winning a comp. And I'm very open with that around the players, and the players are aware of, you know, what's expected. So I guess, you know, I select my players towards that. And look, I also know that, you know, someone in Benji can do that because, you know, I've selected him at the highest levels in a Kiwi team. So it's a matter of making sure that consistency comes into his game, just like I expect from every other player. And then those opportunities will open up again.
Have you been happy with what Josh Reynolds has done in his time in the six jumper?
Yeah, I have. Obviously, last night, look, I think there were probably things that he didn't even agree upon, that decisions with the ball, he would have had his time again. But look, at this present moment, he's putting in the hard work and he's getting a reward off the back of that. And yeah, that's one thing about Josh. Yeah, even though he's been at the club for my time here and he's had to sit and wait and be patient, he's worked hard in the background on the things that I've asked of him, and yeah, he's been able to go out and do that.
And what about the injury roundup out of last night as well? You had Zane Musgrove, you had Alex Twole, you had Robert Jennings.
Yeah, it was a bit of a bumpy night for us. Look, we're still waiting on some scans, but I think those three may struggle for this week. So, look, we've got to wait for the severity of them. Alex with his knee, slight medial. Zane's got a foot, and Jenko, he's got a bit of a hammy. So we'll have to wait and see where they sort of play over the week.
Sorry. Madge, what do you think of the rule changes? Are you liking them?
Oh, I don't mind, Gordy. Actually, yeah. I think it's sort of changed the way the game's played. And but I really enjoy the fact that momentum and, you know, I really enjoy now being able to work, you know, differently with my halves. You know, how do you get them into the game when that momentum rolls? And, you know, I've obviously been able to bring someone like Harry Grant in, and I've always enjoyed working with my hookers and my halves, and to be able to pull apart teams now and figure out a target and, you know, rip into one of our big blokes there to find a bit of fatigue. You know, it's changing how you play the game. So I quite enjoy that.
Madge, one of the things about Harry Grant at the moment is if we believe there's a clause in his contract that if Cameron Smith stays another year at the Melbourne Storm, he is free to negotiate with other clubs. Can you just enlighten us on what the situation actually is there, and whether you at some point are looking to have discussions with Harry Grant about extending?
Yeah, a bit of a breaking news there. I think Cameron's just re-signed for 2 years and Harry wants to stay at West Tigers. So news,
things are looking up then.
Don't tease, mate.
Yeah. got you, boys. No, look, it is. Look, I think it's in the hands of exactly what you said there, Kendi. And, you know, we've just got to wait and see what Cameron does. But with the way he's playing, mate, there's no reason why he can't go around again. So let's Melbourne sign him up.
You'd be hoping he would, wouldn't you?
Yes, definitely.
He's playing good enough.
Oh, he is. He's playing some good footy, isn't he? And, you know, it's, I think with the rule and the rules and those sorts of things, you know, he smarts around the game and he's just driving his team down the field, picking off individuals in the opposition and, you know, just playing with them. So there's no reasons why he can't keep going.
Madge, how difficult, take us into some of the changes you're doing now with your coaching in respect to these coaching rules. You talked about stuff you do with your hookers and your halves and whatnot. How differently now are you coaching footy from when you were, say, 12 months ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, I guess teams, it's dependent on who you got in your team. And, like, you know, when I was at South, I had the big power game and, you know, you had your 10 interchanges. So fatigue probably didn't play as big a part, so you'd be able to roll the big men out. But now that you've got the big men stuck in the middle for longer periods of time, you know, you can pick on individuals in and around the plays that you have. And, or, you know, if defence sort of get tight, you can shift a little bit sideways and then come back through the middle of them. And so you're being able to pull apart defence to be able to go through them. Or if all of a sudden fatigue comes into the game, you can start attacking through the middle. So that's the enjoyment part of coaching when you've got the ball, is that you're trying to work out little pathways of, you know, the least resistance so you can build momentum. And you know, I watched the Roosters there against Canterbury, and you know, their whole set is about building momentum. And then all of a sudden, what you get, you've got 13 blokes just flooding through the middle of the field. And that's where Tedesco and those type of players are coming into play. And you know, I've got someone like Adam Dill who is really learning the art of a fullback now, and you know, I'm watching him over this last 3 weeks really grow into that position, both with the ball and defence. You know, it plays a massive part in defence as a fullback, but you know, you've got someone like Tom Trbojevic playing through the middle now, and you know, isolating big guys, and then also you find him out on the edges, you know, putting on a play. So I guess if that makes sense there, Kendi, it's the differences of what you're seeing now in the way the game's being played.
It's much better watching the game now. You see, like, some teams are still stuck in the old shapes with block players and the rest of it, and the teams that are going well at the moment have just abandoned that and are doing exactly what you said. They're basically building momentum and then just flooding through wherever there's opportunity.
Yeah, it's interesting, Kenny. I think we've still got the block play, and you utilise that to be able to build momentum. Now, you've got to be able to create one-on-one, so you're going to get bogged down at some stage. So you'll utilise the block play to be able to create a one-on-one. But once you've got that momentum, then you really go, righto, let's have a target and away we go. So I think you've got the structure that allows you to build that momentum, and then, you know, if you're all of a sudden bogged down, you can use that structure again if you need to. So it's getting a good blend between both now.
Hey, Madge, we often hear all sorts of cool stories from inside dressing rooms, but there's been one that's been kicking around over the last couple of weeks. You know what I'm going to ask you about now, from you a couple of years back at Souths, where you're at Brookvale one night and you decided to get the baseball bat out. Tell us a little bit about what happened there.
And I actually have no idea what you're talking about.
Come on, Madge.
Is it true?
They might have made that one up.
No, mate. They reckon the Seagulls actually sent Souths a bill for whatever you did in the dressing room that night. So we've seen Michael Checker get the golf club out with the Wallabies, and they reckon you had the Louisville Slugger out in the sheds at Brookvale.
No, I keep those things in the change room, boys. Yeah. I'll let you work that one out.
Madge, before you go, Josh Reynolds, I just want to get a little bit more into your head about Josh Reynolds. Yeah. Because the whole story is he leaves the Dogs, he goes to the Tigers. He doesn't ever really want to leave the Tigers. Then he gets there and he has a multitude of injuries and he can't get on the field anyway. Then he has this drama with this young lady, which we won't go into. Then he has this drama with the random breath test. I can't recall a player, and we deal with him a lot here and we love him. I can't recall a player who's had to deal with more off-field drama and still playing the NRL on this bloke.
Yeah, I'm with you, Maroon. I think I'm exactly the same. You know, and that's one thing as a coach, you know, you put the coaching aside and you're looking after your players. And I've watched him go through just a complete rollercoaster over the last sort of 12 to 18 months since I've been at the club. And, you know, it's real credit to him to be able to, you know, bring himself back to where he's at. And one thing about Josh is that when he gets on the training park, that's where he's feeling at his best. You know, he's free. He can do all the things he wants to do. So I've always sort of said to him, I said, mate, that's your safe place. You've just got to make sure now we deal with the things around you. And I think he's in a really good space at the moment. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, have a nice clean run for a little while now and, you know, just, you know, concentrate on his footy and just live life. And he's definitely faced some tough periods.
Yeah, good on you, Madge. Good to catch up, mate. All the best with the Tigers for the remainder of the year.
Thanks, boys. Thanks. Appreciate having